إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're continuing with Kitab al-Imama by Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, from his book Sunan al-Nasa'i. And we had mentioned before that we were using the Sahih Sunan al-Nasa'i by Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, where he had chosen the hadith that have been authentically reported on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and we're only using the authentic ones. We come to the chapter باب من يلي الإمام ثم الذي يليه. The chapter, who is right after the Imam and then who comes after him. And this is when we line up for the Salah. And Imam al-Nasa'i brings the first hadith عن أبي مسعود رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح مناكبنا في الصلاة ويقول لا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم ليالي This word is always hard for me to pronounce. I mentioned before ليالي يني منكم أولو الأحلام والنهى ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. قال أبو مسعود فأنتم اليوم أشد اختلافا. And this hadith is authentic, where Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to feel our shoulders in the salat, meaning lining up for the salat, as he was straightening the rows alayhi salatu wassalam. And he would say, don't differ, meaning one of you is in front of the other when you're lining up for the salat, so that Allah would make your hearts differ. And let the people who are closest to me be those people of ulul ahlami wa nuhal, those people who are of age and of intellect, meaning the brighter people or the people who know most of this deen of Islam, especially the book of Allah, alias of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of his messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. And then those people that come after them, and then those people that come after them, meaning according to how much someone knows of this deen of Islam, would be how they would line up in the salah. And then Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, today you are as serious as you can get in your difference, not paying attention to straightening the rows. So here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see that he used to straighten the rows, and that he used to warn us from not having our rows straight, as Allah would put difference in our heart. And this is hatred and enmity among ourselves, amongst the Muslims. And this would stem from not straightening the rows when we line up for the salah. And here we see the importance of straightening the rows before we line up for the salah. And we shouldn't take the attitude, as unfortunately a person had said about us in straightening our rows here in the masjid. They said that we were overdoing it and trying to straighten the rows. And why are we worrying about straightening the rows when Muslims are fighting in Bosnia? And this is a point that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us is a serious point in Islam. If we don't make our rules straight when we're establishing the salat, then Allah will put hatred and enmity in our hearts for not straightening the rules. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to fill the shoulders to make sure that everyone was lined up together and straight before they made the salat, so that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would keep the hearts of the believers united. The point here that Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he wanted to bring out, and this was the point that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the ones closest to me are the ones of age and intellect, meaning the ones who know most about this deen. And we have mentioned this point before, that the people who are directly behind the Imam, they should be the people who know the most Quran, the most of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In case the Imam makes a mistake, then they would be there to correct him. Whether it was in his recitation or otherwise, they would be there to correct the Imam whenever he makes a mistake, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught us from this hadith. We also see from the statement of the Sahabi Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, today you are with a serious difference of opinion. And he's talking about after the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, where the people got very lax in practicing this deen of Islam, the hatred and enmity grew amongst the Muslims. Yes.
So, before you go into what you were just mentioning, I know I have to make, my work and I have to make the last actor now in principle. He tried to make the deal last week, you know, the Imam down there, he doesn't, you know, tell the guy to train your road or fill the gas and make a slap, and the guy gets 7 minutes far away from him. And so I brought it to the assistant afterwards. He said he was going to inform them. All the times I meet a lot, yeah, if they can do the same thing, should I take upon myself to tell these brothers, or should I go through him and tell him what it is? But look like he hasn't said nothing, but he makes a lot like
You should advise the Imam, and the Nasiha is for the Imam. And then if he practices it, then he will be rewarded for it, and the people will love one another, and their hearts will be united. And if he doesn't take heed to this advice, which is the advice of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, then he would be harmed, and the believers would be harmed because of his not standing on the sunnah. You should advise someone, the people are next to you, but the duty of straightening the rows is the duty of the Imam to straighten the rows, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam used to straighten the rows, or sometimes to appoint someone to help him straighten the rows, you know, when the rows get a little stronger or a little longer, as we see sometimes in Jumu'ah, you repeat, straighten the rows, and then I look at a couple of the brothers, like, is this straight? Because you can't go around to see all of the rows. So whoever, it's the duty of the Imam to straighten the rows, or whoever he appoints. Like he might look at a brother to make sure that the rest of the rows are straight, and this is his duty. And this is why the Sahabi is saying, today you are serious difference, you are in serious differencing. Meaning the hatred and the enmity and the differencing among the Muslims is so much today meaning after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as opposed to the way it was during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam. And if you've seen it in one masjid, I've seen it in dozens of masjids. When I was overseas, unfortunately, many of the imams, they have left the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in straightening the rows. And this is why we're trying our best here at this masjid to go through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that we can practice it. Yesterday we were in disbelief. Today, alhamdulillah, we're in belief and practicing Islam. And we're doing our best to try to learn Islam so that we can practice it. It's upon us to teach the people Islam and to spread Islam to the rest of the people. But whoever accepts it, it will benefit his own soul. And whoever rejects it, it's only to the loss of his own soul. And none of us are guardians over anyone else. None of us are guardians over anyone else. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his messenger. We're not in charge of making the people do anything. We advise you, akhi, do this. This is from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. If he does it, it benefits himself. And if he doesn't, it's only to the loss of his own soul. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us and to guide us and to make us among the people who practice Islam, that which they believe in. He brings the next hadith of Qais ibn Abbad, قال بين أنا في المسجد في الصف المقدم فجبذني رجل من خلفي جبذة فنحاني وقام مقامي فوالله ما أقلت صلاتي فلما انصرف فإذا هو أبي بن كعب فقال يا فتى لا يسؤك الله إن هذا أهد من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلينا أن نليه ثم استقبل القبلة فقال هلك أهل العقد ورب الكعبة ثلاثا ثم قال والله ما عليهم آسي ولكن آسي على من أضلوا قلت يا أبا يعقوب ما يعني بأهل العقد عقد قال الأمراء. And this is authentic. Excuse me, there was just a few words that I forgot their meaning. So I was just speaking in the book that I have, which is the explanation of Sunan al-Nasa'i by Imam al-Suyuti and Imam al-Sindi that I review before my lesson. And if I forget, I try to keep it handy to remind myself of some of these words. The hadith is on Qais ibn Abbad, rahimahullah. He said, when I was in the masjid and I was in the front rows, one of the front rows, or in the first row, when a man snatched me back real hard until he pushed me far away from that row. So I stood where I was, where he pushed me back to, and I swear by Allah, I didn't know what I was saying in my salat, showing he was confused that the man pushed him away from the row. When he's making salat, and you don't imagine that when you're in the salat, somebody snatch you and push you far from the place you are and set you someplace else in another row. So when we had finished the salat, I saw that it was Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the hafiz of the Qur'an. He said, little boy, May Allah, astaghfirullah. Little boy, may Allah never give you safety. And may Allah never give you security. And this is a dua against a person, but the Arabs, they used to use it in a way that it's not as serious as it sounds. You know, not that may Allah actually not give you the safety and the security, but showing you that you did something that you should have stayed away from. Almost as if it calls for a person to make a dua against you or supplication against you like this. He said, indeed, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a promise during his time to stay next to him. And then he faced the Qibla and he said, the people, Ahlul Uqad, they are destroyed. And I swear by Allah. And he said it three times. The Ahlul Uqad, they are destroyed, and I swear by the Rabbul Kaaba, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba, referring to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. He said that three times, and then he said, I swear by Allah that I'm not sad for Ahlul Uqad, but I'm sad for the people who have went astray. We said, Abu Ya'qub, and what is the meaning of Ahlul Uqad? And I didn't translate it because this was a part of the hadith where he's going to give the meaning. And what does Ahlul Uqad mean? And he said, they are the leaders. And this is what the brother was referring to just a minute ago. He said that, I'm not sad for the people who have gone, who are the leaders for doing what they do, but I'm sad for the people who have gone astray. And this is what we would say for that case that you say. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed someone to be in charge of the people. And if he doesn't do right for the people, then he goes astray and he leads the people astray. And that we feel sadder for the people because they didn't know any better. They were innocent and they were just trying to follow the one in charge. And he didn't lead them to that which was correct. And this is what the Sahabi of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was sad for. Because that leader should have taught the people that the people who are most well read of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones that should be in the front rows when you're lining up. In case the imam makes a mistake, then those persons, they would correct him. And we try to mention this every now and then in our masjid in order to let the people know that certain people should be in the front. In case the imam makes a mistake, they are the people who are most learned of this deen. And we see something about this deen that we don't see sometimes in the so-called democracy. And we may not think that it's always that fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He gives someone something as opposed to another person, then that person has it like that. And it's not upon us to say, oh, is he better than me? That's why he can get up here and I can't get up there? This is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's chosen who are the people to get up there, and this is for the betterment of humanity. And not that our ego should get into play, oh, I think I'm better than him, practice Islam just as good as he does. If he memorized more of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you, then this is the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And it's only for the betterment of the people. Because he's there to correct the imam, and if the imam makes a mistake, then he would correct them so that the people behind would benefit. What if they were in the back and they didn't see the mistake of the imam, and the ignorant people were there? Then it would be as if the people in the back would be doing something wrong and thinking that this is from Islam. And it's not in fact from Islam. And this is the importance of having the people in the front to make sure that the imam does that which is correct, so that the people would learn and practice Islam from seeing the imam practice Islam. There's another point that we see from this, and we had a khutbah on this at Brantford Place, believe it or not. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And it's from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, from Al-Bukhari, a Muslim. And the meaning of it is that the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah will not snatch away the knowledge by just taking it away from you, but that the knowledge will be snatched away by the dying off of the scholars. So much so until there's no scholars left. Then the people take the ignorant as their leaders. And then they question them. The people question the leader. And then he answers them with no knowledge, or from his own opinion, as in another narration, and he goes astray and he leads the people astray. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us as advice to warn us from taking the ignorant as our leaders, so that if we ask them, that they won't lead us astray. And we try to take those people who are qualified to be our leaders so that they can guide us, inshallah ta'ala, on the straight path. The next chapter that Imam An-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he brings is Babu Iqamatu Sufufi Qabla Khuruj al-Imam. Chapter, the straightening of the rows before the Imam comes out, or lining up before the Imam comes out. And he brings the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala, uqimat as-salat faqumna fa'adilat as-sufuf qabla an yakhruja ilayna Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yakhruju ilayna Rasulullahi أن يخرج إلينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأتانا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى إذا قام في مصلاه قبل أن يكبر فانصرف فقال لنا مكانكم فلم نزل قياما ننتظر حتى خرج إلينا قد اغتسل ينطف رأسه ماء فكبر وصلى. And this is authentic. And it seems as if we covered this hadith recently in one of the other chapters. This hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the iqama was made for the salah. And we stood up and we got the row straight before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to us. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to us and he got in the place where he was going to lead the salah, but before he said Allahu Akbar to begin the salah, he left. Or he was about to leave and he said to us, just stay there in your place, I'm leaving. And then we remained there in our places waiting for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to return to us. And he returned after taking a ghusl and his head was still dripping with water. His hair was still dripping with water. So he said, Allahu Akbar, and he made the salah. Here Imam An-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he's using this hadith to show the straightening of the rows before the Imam comes out. And this could be, to give an example with us, maybe one of the brothers, they see, I get out my car, I'm on my way up, and then the brother makes the iqamah, and a brother is delaying me out there, he's asking me something or what have you, and then the rows are straight until the Imam actually comes. And this is just showing that it's permissible, and it took place during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And some of the ulama, they use these hadith to show us that Islam is real and practical, and there's no such thing as an impractical Islam. Islam is the deen of humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed it for all of us. And there's no such thing as an Islam that's not practical for the people. As we see in some of these situations with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that what took place between him and his companions is the same thing that takes place between us nowadays. And that there's nothing different. Maybe they were in a different place, they had different whatever habits or customs, but human beings are human beings. We love, we hate, we're happy, we're sad, we're on time, we're late, some of us are brighter than others, and so forth. This is human beings from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to the last day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this deen perfect and complete for the people until yawm al-qiyamah. And this is just an example to show how practical Islam is. And the reason I was bringing this point out is because one of the so-called people of learning, he was telling the people, man, it seems like everything is at Branford Place tonight. At Branford Place, that there's people who memorize and read the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they don't know how to practice it in your lives. And I'm trying to imagine, what in the world is he saying? How can you say that there's such thing as you read the hadith and stuff, but you don't know how to put it into your lives? And it seems like every hadith that we've covered so far, we can imagine applying it to our lives. And even if the situation didn't happen to us as this of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we could imagine it happening sooner. And that would be if the case was as it was during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to give us the situation that he gave his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is a hint about the new masjid that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with. The Prophet's house alayhi salatu wasalam was next to the masjid. And this is how they built it. Like we see, this would be the masjid. And then right here would be the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he had another one of his houses. Then the house of his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then on the back side, they had this companion. He had his house right there. Then the next one, his house there. Then the next one there. And then all the way around. And many of them, they used to have a window to coincide with the window of the masjid. So you just peek at your house. You look in the masjid. You see if anything's happening. Go catch a lesson with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go be with the brothers, see what's happening. So this is the setup that it used to be. So you can imagine if someone comes in, if the imam comes in, he forgets, subhanallah, I forgot to make that ghusl, just wait a minute. You can just go right to your house and then make the ghusl, and then that the people would be a short wait, and then we would establish the salah. And this is when Islam is like a real community and the people are living near the masjid and everybody's really brothers in Islam and our hearts are united and we really love one another and we care for one another, then we can imagine the same thing that happens during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, it can take place with us. Bab kayfa yuqawwimu al-imamu sufuf. Chapter, how does the imam straighten the rows? Chapter, how does the imam straighten the rows? عن النعمان بن بشير قال رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوم الصفوف كما تقوم القداح فأبصر رجلا خارجا صدره من الصف فلقد رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لتقيمن صفوفكم أو لَيُخَالِفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ وُجُوهِكُمْ. And this narration of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to straighten the rows as straight as an arrow or a spear, as straight as that. And that one day he saw a man's chest hanging out of the row. And I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, either you will straighten your rows or Allah would divide your hearts. Either you will straighten your rows or Allah would divide your hearts. And here he's showing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be very meticulous in straightening the rows to make sure they were precise and straight. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the strength to straighten the rows that the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam was straightening the rows. And it sounds, and this is like the statement of one of the imams, Imam Ibrahim hafadhullah from Masjid Ikhwa in Brooklyn, he used to say, straighten the rows, make the straightest rows in the world. And when I first heard the statement, we were just laughing. But you see his attempt to make the rows as straight as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam straightened them. As this is to help us unite our hearts, as we see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, either we're going to straighten the rows or we're going to have our hearts divided. And we can see if we want to keep our hearts united and together, then we see that straightening our roles is a part of this. And maybe the brother felt, and some of us, we have felt, in some of the places where they don't straighten the row. You look down the row and everybody's all out. He's close, he's far away from him. You feel like we're not even together as a ummah because you're not tight in and together and straight, looking sharp. You feel as if you're not even together with your hearts. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam promised us if we didn't straighten our rows. عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخلل الصفوف من ناحية إلى ناحية يمسح مناكبنا وصدورنا ويقول لا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم وكان يقول إن الله وملائكته يصلون على الصفوف المتقدمة. Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to go in between the rows from this side and that side and used to wipe our shoulders and our chests to make sure, and then he would say, don't differ, don't be crooked in your rows. And that means, trying to use one word in English, la takhtalifu, that means don't be crooked this way. And don't be apart that way. Don't be like this this way, and then don't be apart that way. And sometimes this is where the problem of translation comes, because maybe you don't have one word that's going to mean don't be like this and don't be separate like that. Or your hearts will be divided. And that means that you'll have hatred and enmity in your hearts for one another because your roles aren't straight. And he used to say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, indeed Allah and the angels, they pray for the one who is in the first rows. They pray for the one who is in the first rows. Here we see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm glad this came up in case I try to straighten the rows a little more, that the brothers won't feel offended if I tell them, Akhi, you know, back up like this, get your foot over here. That we would feel that this is Islam and not that the Imam is trying to pick on someone or trying to make fun of him or what have you, but that this is the deen of Islam, and this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam used to do when he straightened the rows to make sure that the rows are straight. باب ما يقول الإمام إذا تقدم في تسوية الصفوف. Chapter, what the Imam says إذا تقدم في تسوية الصفوف. What the Imam said if he moved out to straighten up the rows. أو كما أراد إمام النسائي رحمه الله. إمام النسائي, and I didn't see the exact words to say it. إمام النسائي saying the chapter when the Imam wants to straighten the rows, what does he say? When the Imam wants to straighten the rows, what does he say? عن أبي مسعود رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح عواتقنا ويقول استووا ولا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم وليليني منكم أولو الأحلام والنهى ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. And this hadith had come before with a different wording, where Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to rub our shoulders and he used to say istawu, and that means straighten the rows and don't differ, so that your hearts won't differ, and let the ones who are closest to me be the ones of age and intellect, and then those that follow them, and then those that follow them. Here Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he just wanted to make the point that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say istawu, meaning to straighten the rows. And it was funny that I was just thinking about this the other day, that I usually say the word in English, straighten the rows, straighten the rows. And maybe inshallah ta'ala, I should start to use the word of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in Arabic, until the people get used to the word istawu, and that means to straighten the rows both this way and to close and to fill in the gaps. And then he brings the next chapter, Babu Kam Marratin Yaqulu Istawu. How many times do you say Istawu? And he brings the hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yaqulu istawu 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 fa walladhi nafsi biyadi inni la araakum min khalfi kama araakum min bayni yadayya. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say istawu istawu istawu, and we see here three times. And this is what Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah is just trying to show, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say it three times, more than one time, to show us the importance of straightening the rows and to make sure that the people heard it and that they understood the importance of straightening the rows. And then he said, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hands, indeed I see you from behind myself just the way I see you in front of me. And this is one of the miracles of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, that he used to see the people from behind him. And this is to show that he's standing like this, saying, Istawu, Istawu, Istawu. And that he used to see if the roads were straight by looking in the opposite direction, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed his messenger with. And this is one of the miracles of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And it's good for us to familiarize ourselves with some of the miracles of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because some people among the disbelievers, they don't think that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wa sallam, have performed any miracles. And this is one of the miracles, that he used to see the people as if they were right in front of him. He used to see them the same way when they were behind him. And just on our Sunday's class at Masjid Ikhwa, we're quoting one of the other miracles of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wa sallam, where the people wanted to make wudu, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give me some water. And they gave him some water, and he put his hand in it, and then water began coming from his fingers until everyone made wudu from the fingers of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the one who heard the hadith from the companion, he said, how many of it were you? And they said, we were about 70 people who made wudu from the water that came from the fingers of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi sahbihi wasallam. And there are many other miracles of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam other than this. But here we see the importance of repeating the word istawu so that the people could straighten the rows. Bab hathul imam ala ras as-sufuf wal muqariba baynaha. Chapter, the encouragement of the imam to straighten the rows, to tighten the rows this way, and to make them closer this way. An Anas radiallahu anhu qala aqbala alayna rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi wajhihi hina qama ila as-salat qabla an yukabbira fa qala aqimu sufufakum wa tarassu fa inni araakum min wara'i dhahri. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced us before he made the takbir for his salah, and he said, straighten your rows and get close together this way, because indeed I see you from behind my back. Because indeed I see you from behind my back. Here, Imam al-Nasa'i rahimullah is bringing the wording of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tarasu, and this is to show this way in particular, in straightening the rows and keeping them close this way, meaning shoulder to shoulder and foot to foot, like that, being close that way. And then in the other hadith we're going to see, and this is also the hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, anna nabiya Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, rasu sufufakum wa qaribu baynaha وَحَاذُوا بِالْأَعْنَاقِ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ إِنِّي لَأَرَى الشَّيَاطِينَ تَدْخُلُ مِنْ خَلَلِ الصَّفِّ كَأَنَّهَا الْحَظَفُ. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tighten the rows this way and make them close this way. And that is before they used to have these type of lines in the masjid. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam would make sure that the rows are straight, everyone's in a straight line, and then he would say tarasu, to make sure the rows are tight this way, everybody's as close as he can get to his brother. And then when the next line starts, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam would make sure that row is just close enough to this row, meaning to give you just enough room to prostrate so that you don't bump into the feet of the line that's before you, and then the next line to start. And not that you have a line right here, you have a line way back there like that, then a line back like that, but to bring every line as close as they could this way, and as close as they could that way. And this is the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to straighten the rows. And then he said, wa alaykum salaam wa rahmatullah. This way? Yeah. It's a waqaribu bainaha, yani, to get close this way too. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and make sure that their necks are together. Wait. Make sure their necks are facing one another. Okay, if you look down the row like that, it looks like one neck. Like that. You know? So everyone's neck is facing each other like that. So if you look down, it looks like just one neck or one head all the way down like that, to show the straightness of the rows that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is referring to. And then he said, I swear by the one whom Muhammad's soul is in his hand, that indeed I see the shayateen. I see the devils, they're entering into the rows like little sheep. And here the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about what the brother was referring to. If we don't line up close, shoulder to shoulder like that, you know, he's a little back, you know, I need some room in my salat, you know, just give me some room. Or he feels, you know, my clothes are better than that brother's right there. You know, just stand right there, akhi. Let me make my salat. And you have that gap in the row. The Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said he see the little devils running through the rows just like little sheep. And they're playing in between the rows, breaking and dividing the hearts of the believers because we leave space in our rows. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is frightening us from leaving those gaps in our rows, and commanding us to tighten up those rows this way when we make salat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also he brings the hadith of Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu, qala kharaja ilayna rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa qala ala tasuffuna kama tasuffu al malaikatu 'inda rabbihim qalu wa kayfa tasuffu al malaikatu 'inda rabbihim qala yutimmuna as-saff al awwala thumma yatarassuna fi as-saff. Jabir ibn Samara radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out upon us and he said, straighten the rows the way that the angels straighten their rows up and with in the presence of their Lord. They said, and how do the angels straighten up their rows in the presence of their Lord? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they complete each row before they make another row. And then they make each row very tight this way, being close to one another. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing another point that we see, and that is that you don't begin the second row until the first row is all the way complete. And then you don't start this third row until the second row is all the way complete. And then you don't start the fourth row into the third row is all the way complete. This is the way that the angels used to line up. And this is the way that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is commanding us to line up. At times, sometimes we complete the row all the way out, And at times, the brothers, we leave a little gap there so that the people can come in to make the salat. And if we would have had our doors at other angles, then it would be easy for us to complete all of that. And maybe, inshallah ta'ala, after we see this hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, maybe we'd keep it our, or make it our goal to keep this door open there so that everyone will complete the row. And then when we come in, we see that we would just go through that door and to come in to make sure that we keep all of our rows complete before the next row, so we can try to practice the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam as much as we could. There were a couple of other hadith that weren't particularly from the sunnah of Imam al-Nasa'i on this issue of straightening the rows. And it's from the book that we're reading from on Monday nights. And that's Riyad al-Saliheen, or Gardens of the Righteous, by Imam al-Nawawi. And he has a chapter, he calls it Bab Fadl Saf al-Awwal wal-Amru bi Itmam al-Sufuf al-Awwal wa Taswiyatuha wa Tarasu fiha. He says it's the chapter of the virtues of being in the first row and the commandment to complete each row before you begin another one, and then the straightening of the rows, and then the tightening up of the rows this way. Imam al-Nasa'i, Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he brings this hadith of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. We'll start here, inshallah ta'ala, hadith 1087. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سووا صفوفكم فإن تسوية الصف من تمام الصلاة. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, straighten the rows, سووا صفوفكم, because indeed straightening the rows is a part of the completion of the salah, or part of the perfecting of the salah, as some people translate it. As we see in the narration of Imam al-Bukhari, فَإِنَّ تَسْوِيَةُ الصُّفُوفِ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. Indeed, straightening the rows is a part of establishing the salah. So this, in this narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us the importance of establishing the salah properly by having the rows straight. And that if we want to establish the salat as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, then we have to get our rows. And no one should think that his salat is so individual that is the salat of the brothers is going to be complete without him trying to straighten the rows. This is the narration that I had really wanted to bring. And this is also the narration of Imam, of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, qala uqimat as-salah faaqbala alayna rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam biwajhihi faqala aqimu sufufakum wa tarassu fa inni araakum min wara'i dhahri. And this is the narration of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and also Muslim narrates this. And the other narration of Imam al-Bukhari, it adds, وَكَانَ أَحَدُنَا يُلْسِقُ مَنْكِبَهُ بِمَنْكِبِ صَاحِبِهِ وَقَدَمَهُ بِقَدَمِهِ. And this narration, which begins where the iqama was made for the salah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out and faced us and said, "Straighten your rows and be close this way, because indeed I see you from behind my back." And then it added in the narration of Imam al-Bukhari, and this is the statement of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "And I saw that each one of us, we would make sure that our shoulder is like glued together to the shoulder of the brother next to us, and that our foot is glued together to the foot of the person who's next to us." And this narration, we see that the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, when they were commanded by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam to straighten the rows, that they would put their shoulder to shoulder and their foot to foot. And we know the narration where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, "Make your necks even with one another," going across the line.
And this is all to show the perfectness, or trying to be perfect in straightening our rows by lining up. And we see the way that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam had showed us in this hadith. And I wanted to bring this narration because some people, they feel that the feet, they don't have to touch, only the shoulder. And this is what they say. And sometimes, astaghfirullah, it's hard for me not to call them ignorant. The Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he told us to put the shoulders together as we saw in the narrations, and to keep our necks together as we saw in the narration, and to straighten the rows in general and not to have one in front of the other as we saw in the narrations. This statement here is the statement of the companion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiallahu an Anas, and not the statement of the Prophet, and that is that we saw each other putting his shoulder and his foot glued together to his brother's shoulder and his foot. The people, they say, I don't have to put my foot next to your foot, because the Prophet didn't say that, his companion said that. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say it, his companion said that.
In the case where the men, it's mandatory that we make salat inside the masjid, and you go to a place that they have a reputation for making salat on 45 degree angles, all three of the lines, all the way down, everybody is like, I'm not trying to find an excuse not to make the salat there.
That's
the blessing still good if you come in and you make this salat and you're divided, or if you had a place at your job or something, you need the salat, which one would be better, to make it individually and don't go there, or to go there and to be divided?
No, all of the Muslims, they have to go to the masjid and make the salat.
Okay.
All of the Muslim men, is compulsory upon us to make our salat in the masjid. If there's problems in the masjid, and it's going to stem from the leadership of the masjid, then the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he made it clear to us. If that leader does good, then it's for him and the people. And if the leader does bad, it's against him and the people are still okay. So whatever he does is only going to be against him. And then if he does right, he's going to get it and the people are going to get it too. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear that we're not going to be responsible for their problem. We have to go to the masjid and make our salat, and whatever foolishness or deviance that the people practice, then that's on them. It's upon us to go and establish the salat, and if they give us the opportunity to advise, we advise people to that which is best from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But this statement of the people, that is the statement of Anas. There's a point from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that no one disagrees in. And that is whatever he saw, and he let it go, or he confirmed and he said, by not saying anything against it, they all agree that that is a part of his sunnah. That is a part of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he would have never seen anything that was displeasing to Allah, except that he would have made it clear to the people. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ says, straighten your rows. Indeed, I see you from behind my back. And we saw the Prophet will push somebody's chest in, touch the shoulders, and make sure everything is okay. What they did when the Prophet was checking them out, there was foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. The Prophet of Allah ﷺ would have said, it's okay, loosen your feet up. Just make sure that you're straight. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he was straightening it. So when this companion is talking, he's not talking in absence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's talking about what took place in the presence of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. He's telling us how they obey the commandment of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. He's showing us when the Prophet commanded us to do this, straightening the rows, this is how we did it. Is there someone that's going to come after the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and to straighten the rows outside of the presence of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam better than the people did it in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? It's amazing that the people could even have this type of deviant understanding, and that is because they have hatred in their heart for the people who have come before them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to seek forgiveness for the people who come before us and not to have any hatred in our hearts for the people who believe. The companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam are the first believers. Allah chose them to be the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are the best of humanity after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he says in the authentic hadith, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. That the best of humanity is my generation with the companions, and then the one that comes after them, and then the generation that comes after them. This is the best generation of humanity, and this is the way that they straighten the rows. This is what we wanted to present today from the Sunan of Imam al-Nasa'i, the Kitab al-Imama, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Yes. Yes, Imam al-Nawawi and the brothers just bringing another narration where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us to be close to one another. And there was more narrations if someone checks Riyad al-Salihin, as he brought the whole chapter. And I just tried to single out one of the hadith that Imam al-Nasai rahimahullah that he didn't bring. But Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, who is from among the latter generations, as Imam al-Nasai rahimahullah, he died 303 Hijra, and he's one of the people of Hadith, one of the early scholars of Hadith. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he came later on, 676 Hijra, he died, or around that time, if I'm mistaken. So he came in the latter generations when the basic books of Hadith were already written. And these are the books that we know. Imam al-Bukhari died 256, Imam Muslim 261, Imam Dawood, Abu Dawood died 275, Imam At-Tirmidhi 279, Ibn Majah, I forgot his date, I think it might be 279 too. And then we have Imam An-Nasa'i, is coming 303. And we see the ulama, maybe some of us have heard of the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, he died 241. The Musnad of Abu Dawood Al-Tayalisi, he died 204. Anyway, this was like the century. Imam Malik, his Muwatta, he died 179. We see that just before 200 Hijra and just after 200 Hijra, the ulama of Hadith were establishing the major collections of Hadith. And then later on, Imam al-Nawawi was coming, you see, 300 years after that. They had all of the books already written of Hadith. So they used to go through it. As we see Imam al-Nawawi, if you read his Riyad al-Salihin, one of the finest books written, he usually tries to bring the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, then Bukhari by itself, then Muslim by itself, then Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, An-Nasa'i, and like that in his order of bringing it. As opposed to Imam An-Nasa'i rahimahullah, he's bringing the hadith of his collection, not the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari or Muslim, as opposed to us in the latter generations, we choose from all of the books to make it complete. So there's other narrations other than the ones that we mentioned, all showing that straightening the rows is a part of the establishing the salat. And a part of completion of the salat is to straighten the rows. And that the rows, they have to be straight. And not that someone is back a little or in front too much. And the rows have to be tight. And that means from shoulder to shoulder and foot to foot that way. And also the rows have to be tight, meaning one behind the other. They have to be as close as they could to the row before them. And like this, this is the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has commanded us to straighten the rows. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his success in attempting to practice this deen. Yes, sir. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. Yes.
But if there's a brother, if there's two brothers that extend their legs, say too far, that means only maybe 16 to get there.
Yes.
Is there any sort of that we should do as far as our angle and width wise?
Yes, this is what we were trying to mention. We should try to be shoulder to shoulder and foot to foot. And if you line up shoulder to shoulder and foot to foot, you will get as many people as you could in a row. And that reminds me, there was a point that I wanted to mention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us the way He's created us. Some of us are muscular, some are thin, some are tall, some are short. Even the way our bones, you know, even on the foot. Some of us, if we put our foot straight, it feels, if you're not looking, it feels like your foot is going inward or outward or like that. That not everybody's foot lays straight like this. That this means it's straight for some people. I don't know what you call it. Or like this is, I don't know, pigeon toe or this. Slew foot and pigeon toe. That the actual straightness is other than that. And it has an effect too. Because if somebody's foot is really like this, when he has to stand straight and he puts it all the way next to the brother, he'll find it's a lot of pain in his knee because of that. And we're going to take into consideration that way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. And it would be simple for the brother to say, "Akhi, it's very difficult for me to put the whole side of my foot to the whole side of yours because it's really painful on my knee and it's a little comfortable like this." وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا. And we have to take this into consideration that Allah doesn't burden a soul beyond its ability. And we have to take this into consideration. And I try to remind the brother sometimes as we're doing our best to straighten the rows, and the brothers tell him, "Akhi, put your foot all the way next to mine, Akhi, straighten this row." And he's being a little hard on the brother, and the brother is really trying to say that, you know, it's impossible. And we know that some of us, some of the brothers, they accepted Islam, they were a little elderly. And we haven't been sitting on the floor all our lives. We've been sitting in chairs and reclining on couches and stuff. And it gets to be a little uncomfortable, really, sitting and bending. And you take all of this into consideration as some of maybe older people or bigger people. Maybe they need a little room. And this would be taking the people's condition into consideration and not intentionally, willfully, knowingly trying to divide, to break up the roles or to divide the hearts of the Muslims. But this would be to take into condition a person's situation. Like some of the brothers, when he sits down, he can't sit straight. He has to lean over a lot that way. And maybe he's just going to tell the brother, you know, "Just give me a little room." Not to separate the role, to break it, but that, you know, it's difficult on me and I kind of lean like this. And just please try to be considerate. And we have to be considerate to our brothers, alhamdulillah. And to take this into consideration when we're straightening the rows. But in normal circumstances, we're going to line up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. Allah yubarakfi. If there's no more questions, if there was any good, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there was any mistakes, then it's from me. And I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.